This is
For a Better Life.
For a Better Life.
فرمود باعث تو لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode in our series For a Better Life. This is our Muharram episodes, talking about the different lessons we can learn from Imam Hussein's movement. Before we start, let me present my condolences to the entire Muslim Ummah for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein was a big Islamic figure, the grandson of the Holy Prophet, and this event is one that should affect every single Muslim believer, brother and sister in the entire world. As we've said again and again, Imam Hussein's movement was not a worldly movement. It wasn't a movement for personal gain. It wasn't an arbitrary war between two clans. Imam Hussein was standing for the truth against falsehood. And that means that there was a lot to learn from this. Imam Hussein was trying to send a message to the people of his time until today. What is this message of Imam Hussein? What can we learn from Imam Hussein's movement? This is what we want to discuss in these few episodes. Today I would like to talk about something that is really important and that affects every single one of them. Now you've all heard the story of Imam Hussein from the minbar for the many years that you've been attending the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And one of the important stories that usually is brought in the beginning of the first 10 days is that when Imam Hussein was on his way towards Karbala, there were people who said to him, you know what, I really want to join you, but, you know, I'll be right back. You know, the famous BRB, I'll be right back. I just need to go and finish some work. And guess what? When they came, they never made it. It was too late. When they came back, it was too late. And this is an important lesson for us to learn. After all these years, we really need to learn this lesson, that we can't tell Imam, I'll be right back. We need to be ready all the time. It's important for us to be ready because opportunities come and go very fast. They're rare to come and they're very quick to go and disappear. So we need to be ready at all times. Otherwise, when the opportunity comes, we won't be able to catch it. But what does it mean to be ready? Does that mean I shouldn't be doing anything in life and just waiting for something to happen? No, that's not what it means. Being ready at all times means that we need to constantly be in a state of performing our responsibilities. We need to have a mindset that everything I do should be for a purpose and the purpose for which I was created. I should be doing everything with having in mind that I'm fulfilling the responsibility and the duty that Allah has given me by sending me in this earth. Everything we do should have this godly purpose. And everything we do should be in line with Islamic teachings. Doing it for a godly purpose is basically making sure that we're doing things within the Islamic framework. Whether it's the studies we are doing, whether it's the jobs we have, whether it's our hobbies, even fun time can either be halal or haram, then why not go for the halal forms of fun and pastime? As long as we strive to keep ourselves in the framework of Islamic guidelines and perform our duties, even our fun time, even our halal fun and our halal leisure time and the hobbies we do, even in those states, we are actually ready to serve the Imam. We are prepared for the Imam. Because in those states, in whatever state we are, if this is the mindset that we have, if this is what we have made ourselves used to, that whatever I do, whether I rest, whether I sleep, whether I eat, eventually all of this is done for the sake of Allah. What does that mean? Eventually all of this is done because I'm constantly fulfilling the responsibilities I've been given. If this is the mindset and the lifestyle that we have, then whatever time, whenever Imam calls us, then that will be our new duty. That will be a new duty that just sprung out. And because we've had this mindset, we will automatically jump for this opportunity. Because now this is the most important thing I need to do. Before, the most important thing I needed to do was, for example, get my halal rizq, take care of my family, go to a march, sign a petition, give charity, give my khums, give my zakat, go to hajj. These were the primary things I needed to do. Now all of a sudden, on top of all this, I now have a new responsibility. Imam has called me to perform a particular action. Imam has called me to perform a particular mission. And here I am ready, O Imam, to do it because this is my new priority. It comes on top of all the other secondary priority that I had. But on the other side, if you think about it, if our priorities are messed up and if our focus is on other things, then when this opportunity will come up, we'll just be double-minded. So look at what this verse of the Quran says. This is at a time when the Prophet was calling the Arabs, the Bedouins, to come with him on his journey towards Mecca. So in Surah number 48, verse 11, it says, سَيَقُولُ لَكَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ شَغَلَتْنَا أَمْوَالُنَا وَأَهْلُونَا فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا. The Bedouins who stayed back from joining the Prophet in his journey towards Mecca will tell you, our possessions and our families kept us occupied. So plead to Allah for our forgiveness. You see, these people had messed up their priorities. For them, what was important was their possessions, was their family, was their job, was their day-to-day life, their routine life. That they were just doing it out of habit, out of material benefit, out of whatever, the comfort zone they're in, whatever it is. And they weren't after fulfilling the responsibilities that they have. So when the Prophet now tells them, look, now I as a Prophet am ordering you to come with me, this is more important than all the other secondary responsibilities that you had. Now these people are like, look, please ask Allah to forgive us. But, you know, we're busy with our lives. We're busy with our families and our property. And this again made them miss out on this important journey alongside the Holy Prophet of Islam. Not only did they miss out, but they disobeyed the Prophet of Allah. And this is no small thing.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor cause we couldn't stand there crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
Now look at this verse of the Quran. In Surah Tawbah, verse 38, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَا لَكُمْ إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ إِنْفِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ اثاقلتم الى الارض ارديتم بالحياه الدنيا من الاخره فما متاع الحياه الدنيا في الاخره الا قليل. O you who have faith, what is the matter with you that when you are told go forth in the way of Allah you sink heavily onto the ground? Are you pleased with the life of this world instead of the hereafter? But the wares of the life of this world compared to the hereafter are but insignificant. You see, these people were called to one of the battles with the Prophet against the enemies of Islam who were trying to destroy Islam. Now, when they were called to fight alongside the Prophet, they just got stuck. They didn't want to come. They were afraid. They didn't want to, you know, sacrifice what they have. So Allah is telling them, what is wrong with you? You're being called to fight. And if you die, even if you die, you will go to the hereafter, which is much better than this world. The love of the world they had in their hearts stopped them from passing this test. If we don't focus, if we don't reassess our priorities, and if we let the love of this world and being busy with this world and be preoccupied with this, we let this overcome us, then when the real test comes, then we won't be able to make the necessary sacrifice because the intensity of this attachment to the world is too much. And we think it's easy. When the time comes to let go of what is the most dear to us, then we realize that actually it's not that easy. And this takes time. the love for this world, the love for the different things we have, builds over time. It's a gradual process. The sooner we detach ourselves, the easier it is. Now, we don't mean not to get involved in worldly matters. Please, let's pay attention to this. Islam is not against enjoying this life. It's not against being happy. It's not about, you know, having a blast. Islam is telling you that don't get attached to this. When you have to fulfill your responsibility, you should be able to put aside all these pleasures and this ease and this comfort and the position and the wealth and the family and in your life and fulfill your responsibility. If you manage to do that, that means you're not attached to this world. So you can enjoy the world as much as you want because it's not going to stop you from performing your responsibilities. So this is an important lesson we learn from the event of Karbala. That those people who came with Imam Hussein, those people, those very few people who came alongside Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they were the people who had their priorities the right way around. They are the people who are ready to sacrifice. And we see people like, for example, Habib ibn Mudahir. What an amazing guy. Habib. What can I say about Habib? Imam Hussein invited him. He called him. He said, come. Come and help me. And Habib didn't say, oh, you know, I'm busy. No, he said straight away, he told his slave, get my horse ready, I'm going. And he even told his slave, you're free. You don't need to be at my service anymore. Well, alhamdulillah, the slave also had a lot of insight and love for the Ahlul Bayt that he told Habib that, look, I've served you all my life. I'm not going to leave you now that you're going to fight alongside the grandson of the Prophet. So I'm going to come with you. And so Habib, alongside his slave, come to Karbala and fight alongside Imam Hussein. This is a person who's understood his duties and his responsibilities. This is a person who's not attached to his worldly life. That when he's called to move away from the comfort of his home, to move away from the pleasures of the world, he's ready to do that as soon as he's called. So let's learn from the companions of Imam Hussein, from Imam Hussein himself. And if we are able to implement these things in our life, then we will be real Husseinis. We will be ready for the Imam of our time, the Hussein of our time, inshallah. We'll continue discussing the different lessons of Karbala, the different lessons of the movement of Imam Hussein, inshallah, in the next episode. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Your mercy, your love is all I need. It's all I need. It's all I need. It's all I need. It's all I need. You mean to me, 'cause your love is all about me, to be all I can be. I know that you see how much you mean to me.
Your love is all I need.